Sue's here, guys.
I'm back, bitches.
Sorry, say that again.
Wow, I said I'm back, bitches.
I just felt I ruined your moment by talking over you. I was going to edit it out, but since you just said, like, now I can't edit it out, I was going to give you your moment.
It's fine.
So you missed the frittata, and you missed Jeff Goldblum,
unfortunately. Jeff Goldblum?
Morning Glory.
He's in I'll
and the frittata. That was why I originally thought that you want to do it, but obviously not your fault that you couldn't be here. Life happens, but we're very happy to have you back.
I'm back to talk about another very specific me movie.
Yes. So I'm glad that you're here.
One is not weird, actually me, but the other one is.
Yeah, no, 42.
42 is very me.
Do you want to talk about your love of Jackie Robinson, or should we wait for that?
We'll wait till we start talking about
42. Okay. So we're talking about 42 first, because it came out first. Oh. It came out April 12th. Oh, no. I thought you knew that.
No, I was like,
listen, we can honestly talk about anything, because I
just watched Paranoia first. So in my brain, I'm like, that's first.
You know what? I thought it was first, too. And it might just be how it's on IMDb. I don't remember. But when I put in the dates of when it was released, I went, oh, wait a second. 42 came out first. As you pointed out, April 15th is Jackie Robinson Day. And this movie came out April 12th. And we are recording this on April 16th.
The day after.
Yeah.
Jackie Robinson Day.
So I was surprised too. Yeah, I thought for some reason Paranoia had come out first. But I don't care. What do you want to talk about?
I was like, oh, Paranoia first, just because that's what I watched first.
Okay. So Paranoia came out in... Okay. We'll probably spend more time talking about 42. That's for sure. So Paranoia is 2013. It was released August 16th, 2013. It was written by Barry Levy and Jason Hall. Jason Hall was nominated for Academy Award for writing American Sniper.
Fun. It was directed by Robert... Lukatic.
We think. We're going to go with that.
We're going to go with Lukatic.
I'm okay with that. I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. I'm going good. Not that I'm good at that stuff. And it was based on the book Paranoia by Joseph Finder. And the character he plays is Augustine Jock Goddard. So that's apparently, I didn't catch, I know they said his name when they arrested him, but I didn't catch it till it was on IMDb. And it's a Hemsworth movie.
Yeah, it's Liam.
Liam, yes.
My favorite Hemsworth.
Really? He's your favorite?
Chris Hemsworth is... I have a whole theory about Chris Hemsworth.
Educate me about the Hemsworths.
Chris Hemsworth with a beard is my third favorite Chris. Chris Hemsworth without a beard is my fifth favorite Chris.
Because I'm familiar with, obviously, Thor. And semi-familiar with Liam. I know there's a third brother, right?
Yes, the third brother's on Westworld. I think
I do know him.
There's a sister. I can't remember. There's a fourth Hemsworth.
I do know him. I do enjoy Westworld. They don't look alike. That's the thing. Liam
he's
and
not
yeah,
built like a Hemsworth, where Liam and Chris are both like they have these long torsos. And if you watch this movie, Liam's shirtless for like four scenes, and he's built exactly like Chris Hemsworth. Like he like walked around. And I saw his little tiny waist. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, he's a Hemsworth.
Yeah, he does have the tiny waist and like the big shoulders. I did notice that. I was like,
they're all shaped like Doritos. Marvel casts people based on whether or not the only one who's not a Dorito normally is Sebastian Stan, but he's a Dorito in Civil War.
I'm laughing because that is very, very true. It's funny because when I saw that,
Chadwick Boseman's we'll talk about him, but he's a Dorito too. Yeah, Black Panther.
Because when I saw him shirtless in Paranoia, I went, "Oh, this is the new shape for the leading man, which is the big shoulders and the skinny waist." But then the way you phrased it before, I thought you meant just the Hemsworth body. I thought, "Oh, maybe I'm incorrect." But yeah, no, I've noticed that too.
Yeah, because Chris Evans, they make fun of Chris Evans because Chris Evans is shaped like a Dorito, but they're all shaped like Doritos. Chris Evans is the most triangular.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, broad and tiny, tiny. But, like, Liam and Chris are, like, leaner. Like, they're just longer. They're long Doritos. Chadwick Boseman is a little like a Dorito, but in Black Panther, not in...
Well, because they probably 42. Have a similar trainer.
They all have their
celebrities, right? Yeah.
But, like... Sebastian Stan got like square. I don't know. It's weird.
Maybe you should start a Twitter. The body
comparing their bodies to what chip there was.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Who's the scoop? Chris Pratt in Parks and Rec is the Tostitos scoops.
So Harrison picked this film because, much like with Firewall, because that's a good way to go with movies there, Harrison, is that he sort of seems fascinated with this idea of how there's no such thing as privacy now. And he feels like that's what this film sort of talks about. And, oh yeah, that's right, because this is also a big movie for you because Gary Oldman is in it.
Second Gary Oldman, Harrison Ford.
Yeah, it's a bit of a reunion between the two of them from Air Force One. Although they really only have two scenes together, if you think about it.
Yeah, in the same set. And then the end.
Yeah, it's been the same set. And they asked Harrison if he's on the internet, and he says he likes books.
This movie,
Okay, let's talk about the movie. I hated it. I
couldn't tell you what happened because I was on the computer. But
because it's boring. Here's my big issue is that I was almost editing it as it went, and I didn't know it was a book when I first watched it. So when afterwards I did the research, I went, oh, of course it was a book. I see what they did. But if it had been tightened and maybe had better actors in it, other than obviously, you know, you got Gary Oldman, you got Harrison Ford, you have Richard Dreyfuss, who I do not believe is that guy's father.
No, because Liam Hemsworth is 8 feet tall, and every scene is Liam Hemsworth like, I understand, like, the next generation can be taller, but he's literally looking down to Richard Dreyfuss.
It's not even that. It's like, here's my father, the short Jew.
Like, and here's this tall Australian man.
Yeah.
Like,
what? I was like, his mother must have been a Norse god.
Yeah. His mother was Helen Hunt in Thor.
Here you go.
Like, and it's funny, though, because if you cast the other brother, I think his name is Luke. Mm-hmm. Not Liam and not Chris.
You think he'd be better in it?
He would look more like Richard Dreyfuss' son.
That's true.
Luke, I think it's Luke Hemsworth. If I don't give a shit about... Look, me and my friends all have theories that the Hemsworths, the Olsons, and the Maras all have secret siblings that they just, like, emerge every once in a while. Because, like, Elizabeth Olsen was the secret Olsen. And all of a sudden, they were like, there's a third Olsen.
I mean, they existed. I mean, is this like if a tree falls in the forest, did it actually really exist? Is that what you mean? If someone's
it's like
on...
You're not cognizant of like these siblings.
So if you're not on Instagram, you're not real.
Yeah, you're like, they emerge and you're like, whoa! Like, I feel like there's like 12 Hemsworths out there and they're all going to slowly make... Well, it's like the Skarsgårds. There's 12 Skarsgårds.
There's a lot of Skarsgårds.
They just keep emerging.
Also, Liev Schreiber, right? He's got a half-brother, doesn't he?
Pablo. Yeah. Liev Schreiber has Pablo, who is in Orange is the New Black mm-hmm. and American Gods.
Yeah, he's very good. They're both very good. I enjoy them very much so.
Porn stash.
Yes, so this definitely was formulaic, which we were talking about before we started recording. And I feel like if more of the movie was about Harrison Ford and Gary Oldman, also, it took too long to get to the paranoia.
But there were. That wasn't paranoia. That was like a legit...
But it was making him... we know it was legit, but it made him feel paranoid because he was like looking around. It was just...
It's not... That's why I don't think I ever correlated...
Maybe that's part of it,
paranoia,
yeah.
Because it was legitimately people... Like, it wasn't a paranoia because normally paranoia, to me, means like...
You're wrong, yeah.
You're wrong and you're just being paranoid. Like, you're like, no, that's... They're following you. You're like, no one's following you. This was like, no, people...
Yeah.
This isn't paranoia. People are... Legitimately following.
I think so far we have the longest length. It took 20 minutes for Harrison to get into the movie. Lately it's been about 15 minutes. 20 to 30 minutes for him to get into the film. Oh,
42, it's the first scene, isn't it? Jackie Robinson isn't even shot of the movie.
He's still not the lead, though. You know, he's going away from being the lead. But I kept just thinking, I could see how on paper these really great actors were like, yeah, let's... This sounds like a really interesting thriller, but I don't know if it's the direction or the editing, but I feel like if it was tighter, it might have been a decent movie.
This movie had no action. It was like a bunch of action stars that they put into a like psychological thriller, kind of. And so you were like, okay, none of them can pull, like, the only one who could have maybe pulled it off was Richard Dreyfuss and Gary Oldman. Like, those two.
No,
like,
exactly.
Because I was watching the movie like, wow, me from 2013 probably would have loved it because it was Josh Holloway.
I thought of you. Yeah, I didn't realize he was in it.
It was Richard Dreyfuss. It was the husband from Desperate Housewives, Amber Heard. It's like every person. And then the dude from X-Men First Class.
Kevin Kilner?
Is that his friend, the blonde?
Oh, that's why he was
X-Men First Class.
That's why he was familiar.
But it's like anytime someone.
That was my issue too. He was such a jerk to that guy. Now, if they had had them be like, you'd shown their friendship through the whole thing. Maybe he'd worked at the company, and then there was maybe like a misunderstanding that he had to like cross him because he had to keep the job because of his dad, and then because of that one thing, he was able to forgive him.
But he didn't.
He didn't. He was rude. He was mean to him. And then he was like, I'm going to help you, man. I didn't believe it.
The only thing that he did wrong was like, because it was like in the middle of everyone like being like, you're going to do this even though you don't want to. The only thing he did wrong was his friend was like, you were supposed to call HR. And he just did.
Yeah,
like,
but he was also the reason that he didn't get the job. Oh, he lost his job. Sorry.
No,
so
they
like,
all lost their jobs because Gary Oldman didn't like that pitch. That wasn't his
See, fault. I felt it was because he started speaking out of turn.
No, it was, they were getting fired.
It just wasn't developed for me.
Oh,
I just,
no.
The relationship part. So that at the end when he's like, we're going to go get him. I was like, what? It just, if everything had happened faster.
No, that wouldn't have helped.
I don't know.
There's no saving it.
This is the first time, because we've seen a lot of movies, obviously, and not all of them have been great, that I could not find one thing that I could go, all right. Like, it was so hard for me to finish watching this. I started it like 5 times.
I put it on real late last night, and then I just watched Liam Hemsworth. There was also this weird, like, when him and Amber Heard are making out, they, like, cut to like a Spider-Man kiss. I don't know if you noticed
that. I didn't notice that.
It's literally like the kiss from the first Spider-Man where Tobey Maguire like comes down and like they kiss upside
down. No, I know that kiss, yeah.
That's like what they did in a laying down bed. And I was like, what's the point of this kiss other than the director going, you know what movie I love? Spider-Man story, Kirsten Dunst and Tobey Maguire. Like that's like, it made no sense. Like even that relationship where at the end they're like all happy. I'm like, no, he fucked you. Like, why are you with him?
Well, I'm gonna skip ahead a little bit and read the review because I think it's a lot of what we're saying. That too, right? That's why I think I knew. It's why I put it with 42. The Washington Post, Sean O'Connell said, there's nothing original left. Tech executive Nicholas Wyatt tells his handsome prodigy, Adam Cassidy, near the start of the of this thriller, we're all stealing from someone. He's right. In the case of Paranoia, screenwriters Jason Dean Hall and Barry Levy swipe plot twists from the first adaptions of best-selling author John Grisham novels. This is the best part. Watching Hemsworth wilt alongside his commanding co-stars, I couldn't help but think that someday soon, the Fords, Ullmans, and Dreyfuses of this world are going to attempt to pass the baton to a generation that isn't prepared, and the harsh truth has to make some studio executives paranoid.
I don't like that. Because that's insinuating that those are like the greatest actors that have ever lived, and while I love all three of them, that is not the case.
But hey, listen,
like I'm like,
they were the box office draws of their day.
No, they are, but I'm saying like the way we view movies has shifted. Like,
okay,
back then, like I was talking to my friend the other day about this on the subway. You'll eventually know her because I was talking to Leah about it because we were talking about Solo. And I was saying the only reason Han Solo works is because it is Harrison Ford, and that's why he hates it so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because Han Solo wasn't really a character. It was like this outline of a guy who is kind of shitty, but if you put Harrison Ford's charismatic, like,
personality, yeah, his charm,
it worked.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm like, this movie's not going to work because you're reading as the Han Solo you see on paper, not the Han Solo we know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people mistook that and Indy as being like, Harrison Ford is this great actor. Look, he's beautiful.
We've talked about this on the show before. Yeah. I don't think we've ever said, I mean, I really admire that he really wants to be a great actor. And I think that he has some, stop that. And then he has some wonderful moments. But there's a difference between being a transitional actor, someone who becomes the part, and then someone like Harrison Ford, who is good at being a version of himself that's still acting.
Yeah. Well, no, I think
still talent.
With that quote, what it's missing is the fact that like the look at your Colin Firth, I'm looking at my laptop. Look at your Colin Firth, your Chris Pine, your Sebastian Stans.
Yeah.
All three of those are like stereotypically like the beautiful leading man actors that all the girls are like, oh my god, look how pretty.
Yeah.
But they're all incredible actors, or they can do comedy, or they're.
Well, here's a question though. So then you this is 2013. So I would say that those people that, except for Colin Firth, which is different, and he's mentioning. Oh no, Amazon. I was going to say American, but. I think that he's trying to show in this review, because I agree with this review, I mean, it's a little harsh, but is people of their time, these are the past generation of people, other than Colin Firth, and I don't know if I really consider Colin Firth, even though he's gotten a lot of stuff.
He's not a matinee
idol.
No, I think what that review is saying is like, oh, this generation isn't prepared to be the box office draws. When I'm like, no, what draws people to the box office has changed.
I see what you're saying. It's no okay, longer, I could say that.
Oh, Harrison Ford's in this, I'll go. It's, this is a Marvel movie. This is this movie. Yes. This is this. Or even like what happens
you're is absolutely
you
correct.
Take the Marvel actors and you're like, you put any of those Marvel actors in another movie, it goes, Tanya wouldn't have been nearly as big if it wasn't a DC actress and a Marvel actor.
Still an indie movie though. I wouldn't say that it was a huge box office success.
It got nominated for an Oscar and it never would have if it had not been for the fact
that I don't agree with
that. Margot Robbie movie. Okay, take Margot Robbie out. That movie wouldn't have been made.
You don't think Allison Janney would have gotten... There are movies that have no traction and are terrible and still get Oscar nominations. No, They're pushing her for an Oscar nomination from the beginning of that movie.
No, that movie wouldn't have been made, is what I'm saying. Because that movie got made because Margot Robbie had a platform because she was in a DC movie. The way the cinema has shifted...
That's a whole thing. That is correct. You are correct. Yeah, now I see where you're going.
Is incorrect because it's saying that...
But this is 2013. I think even though it's not that long...
It was in the thick of Marvel... Winter Soldier came out 2 years prior to that.
I guess so I just feel
that,
like...
I don't agree with that review because that's not what movies are about anymore. They've shifted. And I think he's stuck in the Harrison Ford, Gary Oldman days when movies aren't that way anymore. And I think if...
I feel like, and maybe I'm just remembering it wrong, I feel like it's a lot more saturated now, whereas before it was a certain kind of Marvel. Now there's a lot more, I just feel.
It's just the end of the Marvel, but then that was 2013 was Guardians of the Galaxy came out 2013.
Oh my God. I'm so not
Civil
thinking.
Civil War was 2011. Avengers 2 was 2012.
Wow. I really thought it was just like yesterday.
No.
That's crazy.
Sorry. Civil War came out in 2015.
I enjoyed Marvel. I kind of not seen any of them in a long time because I got kind of marveled out. I personally want to go back to having more than one kind of movie.
There are more than one guy. No.
But they're not. It's not the way that Marvel has taken over. I mean, this is a whole other conversation.
No. No. You're missing what I'm saying.
No, I'm not missing what you're saying. I'm moving on to a different point.
No. What I'm saying is the way Marvel is taking over and how all those actors are the actors that people go and watch movies for is exactly what he was saying. And he said they're not prepared. I disagree. It's just we're finding those actors in a different way than we were back then.
You don't think he just means talent and charisma?
No, which is also wrong because look at how many... We went from having 5 actors that we all wanted to go see in movies and that's why they have it to like...
I don't agree with that. I think
a different actor that I'm like, oh, I love...
I think there's always been a lot of movie stars at once. I think just maybe...
That's not the point I'm making is the... Okay, he's listing the box office draws.
Yes.
Which are the... Back in that day, there was probably, there's a million actors.
Yeah.
But there's, the box office draw actors, there's probably a pool of, 25, 30. I think the problem now is he's saying, the next generation is ready. I was like, no, the next generation is. There's just so many more box office draws than there ever was before. Because we have, if it's not a Marvel movie, if it's not a DC movie, it's TV actors that are so popular, David Harbour as Hellboy. Everyone's going to go see that movie because they love David Harbour from Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. It's like, we have so much more content that the box office draw is now a million actors as opposed to this kiddie pool of the Harrison Fords, the Alec Baldwins, the Richard Dredd, those actors. And I think that quote is insinuating that we don't have the charisma and talent. I was like, no, I think you're pigeonholing a specific genre of action / I can do other thing actors that doesn't exist anymore.
But this is talking about him, not about all those other people.
Well, that quote is insinuating that the whole next generation, the way that is said...
He's the example of it.
Yeah, but he's not. Liam Hemsworth is almost nothing.
But it's about this particular movie. Well, let's just move on. But I think we can agree to disagree. I think that there were just as many actors now as there was back then. They may just be more prestige movies, but I think there were a lot more box office. We just don't know who they are anymore. Because after a certain point, you have the last generation, but only a few of them are left because they're no longer... I mean, there was a time when Ryan O'Neal was a box office star.
Yeah.
No one knows who Ryan O'Neal is anymore. But he's the same. He's almost the same age as Harrison Ford. So, yeah. But no, I think this is a really great discussion. I do. So,
I'm just... As someone who I sit and every day I have to write about the a million actors out there, I just think we live in a different time period. So I think that quote is kind of discounting the way we're viewing movies and actors.
Sure. And that I do agree with. That I absolutely agree with. Yeah.
Agree with. I think I understand his point of saying that Liam Hemsworth is not going to be the next Harrison Ford, which...
Which is what he's saying.
No one ever thought that.
Just what he's saying.
I was like, no one ever thought that. But the way he phrases it is insinuating that no one can ever be him. I'm like, nah, I disagree. There's about seven of him right now. And the problem is...
I don't think that's what it's saying, but okay.
That's what it comes off as to me, is what I'm... The point.
No, I get that. I get that. So what did you think of Gary Oldman in the movie, since you do love him?
Fine. He just did the same thing. That's the problem with... I think that's my problem with watching... these actors that I loved as a kid grow mm-hmm. up. Gary Oldman, like, obviously just won an Oscar. So he still has his moments. But and he is serious black. But I think Gary Oldman's a bad example because him not so much as Harrison Ford, but they find their little niche and you think they're going to break out of it and they don't. Maybe that was the point I'm making, is most actors don't have niches anymore. You kind of have to do everything, or you, like, there's not really like a, here's my niche market and here's this thing I'm really good at. Yeah,
I can see that.
Like Chris Pratt, his thing was Andy Dwyer, who was like this dumb, sweet guy. And then he went to Peter Quill, who's like a dumb jerk. And so then they kept trying to do that with Jurassic World and it failed because everyone's like, that's not what we like about Chris Pratt. You're doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, well, look at Woody Harrelson though. Woody Harrelson played this bumpkin idiot and then he went on to play these really harsh characters.
That's what I'm saying.
You change sometimes.
That all shifts, but I think part of the problem with Harrison Ford, who I love more than anything in this world, is he found his niche and like just never, he tried to leave and it didn't
work. Nothing wrong with that either.
No,
yeah.
I'm just saying.
Again, he's not a transitional actor. He does a very specific thing.
That's the problem with paranoia. I think he is one of those that like he found a niche, he got to stick with it. And
yeah.
He wants to branch out and that's
it's not working. Oh yeah, sure. And also which we talked about before, is that he's at a point in his career where he's not the leading man anymore and he's trying to find his place.
Yeah. And so he's just
exactly, yeah. Yeah. So Variety magazine listed Paranoia as one of the Hollywood's biggest box office bombs of 2013.
I don't remember 2013.
Empire magazine said even a cast boasting Oldman and Harrison Ford can't salvage this dreary, contrived corporate thriller. Let's move on to 42.
Thriller.
It's listed as one. I agree with you. So, 42.
Jackie
Robinson. Do you want to talk about the stats for 42, or should I?
The stats?
I was being baseball-y. Oh, who wrote it?
You wrote it?
Yeah.
I thought you literally had numbers. Because I was like, oh, baseball, no, right. Where are the numbers? And then you were like,
you mean
the information.
So, 42 is based on a true story. Came out in 2013. We mentioned that it was released on April 12th. April 15th is the day that Jackie Robinson entered the major leagues, or the white leagues really was at the time, and integrated it. Mm-hmm. And so it is Jackie Robinson Day.
Which means, if you guys don't know now, because it just happened yesterday, every baseball team wears 42, which is kind of confusing when you think about watching a baseball game and everyone is wearing 42. But it's because no one can wear 42 anymore. They've retired the number throughout all of baseball.
Which is pretty amazing.
Directed and written by Brian Helgeland. Sure. He did L.A. Confidential, which, name an actor who wasn't in that.
Yeah.
And he's an Oscar winner. He did Mystic River. And then The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
And the character that
Harrison Ford played was Branch Rickey.
Which is a real person.
Yeah.
You want to talk about Branch Rickey?
Branch Rickey was the owner of the Brooklyn Dodgers and by extension, the Montreal Royals, who played in Jersey City.
That's so
like,
baseball, though.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we're the Montreal Royals. And there was like another part where the guy from Louisville, like, they went to Connecticut, and that was, like, the team, his home team. And I'm like, why was your home team in Connecticut? Like, it was, like, I was, like, in the 1940s, Branch Rickey wanted to integrate baseball. And so he, which you find out later, is, like, a very noble reason. It's, like, he was fighting in the war, and there was a man of color, and he said he did all he could. But he's, like, in my heart, I knew I didn't. And so he's, like, I wanted to make up for what I did. But whatever. He was noble. He integrated baseball. But, so he is searching for a guy, and they, like, T.R. Knight stumbles upon Jackie Robinson. And
oh, God, I forgot. We've been doing so many movies that people know. Do you want to do a summary or for Paranoia and 42 or no?
I'm not doing it for Paranoia because the movie is terrible, but
okay.
I will do it for 42.
Okay, good. All right.
Paranoia, there's tech stuff. The two guys get arrested.
Just rent it, guys. Yeah.
Don't rent it.
Don't rent it.
Anyway,
it's bad.
42, for those of you who don't know the story of Jackie Robinson, is about how he becomes the first black man in basketball. Jesus Christ, in baseball.
It's okay.
He was a shortstop in the Negro League. Basically, they were like, we have a shortstop. You can play first base. And so when he finally becomes part of the Brooklyn Dodgers, because it was before they went to L.A., he plays first base. It's basically about how, like, the whole first season, everyone is calling him. And Alan Tudyk just screams the N-word for an entire scene. That it's like, if it was anyone else, I mean, you hate him, obviously, but it's also Alan's like,
so good.
It kept going back, and I was like, okay, Alan Tudyk, like, shut the fuck up. Like, it was like one of those.
That's how good he is. You're just like, I usually love you, Alan Tudyk, but God, I hate you as a racist.
Well, it's not even that. It wasn't like I hate.
No, he's just that good.
Well, no, but what was weird is like, my reaction was not, God, you fucking racist, I hate you. It was, Alan Tudyk, shut the fuck up. Like, it was because I love Alan Tudyk.
Yes.
And I was like, just shut
How
the
can
fuck
you not
up.
Love Alan Tudyk? He's really good in it. Everyone's really good in this movie.
Yeah, this movie is a lot of people that you're like, oh shit. Like, the guy who is the shortstop for the Dodgers is the dude from Friday Night Lights, like, the movie. So, like, I don't know that character's name. I think it's Pee-wee.
Pee-wee Reese.
Yeah.
Lucas Black. Pee-wee Reese was a big baseball player.
That's fine. I loved Jackie, so I didn't care. When I was a kid, I was like, I don't care.
See, I come from a baseball family, so a lot of these names I know because of my dad.
I do, too. I just... Yeah. I had tunnel vision for baseball players growing up.
No, it's fine.
That's why it's funny, because in this movie, they mention a bunch of Pirates players. I'm like, whatever, my dad probably knows all of them. But my brain, I remember Brian Giles, I remember Jason Kendall, and we had Barry Bonds for a while. Like, that's what I remember of the Pirates.
Yeah, and obviously Pee-wee Reese played way before Barry Bonds, so it
yeah,
makes
I'm,
sense.
No,
yeah,
I'm,
yeah.
I'm exclusively listing Pirates players.
No, no, no. Oh, gotcha, okay. Oh,
and Roberto Clemente, Abby. But
anyway, yeah, I knew Yankees and some other people.
See, we're Pittsburgh, but yeah. Jackie Robinson didn't even play the position I played. I don't know why I was obsessed with Jackie Robinson, but I was.
You know, it's funny, I used to watch this TV series as a kid called Brooklyn Bridge, and it took place in was it the 50s or the 60s, and the little kid was obsessed with Jackie Robinson. Every night he would have his mother read this, like, the biography to him. It was like his absolute favorite.
Well, I read this book, but I read it because I was obsessed with Jackie Robinson, so I don't know what I saw that, like, I was like, I love Jackie. But I read this book where I think she was Chinese, and it was during the Chinese worker thing in San Francisco, and like her, where everyone, like, it was a bad time for people of Chinese descent in San Francisco. And she was reading this book about Jackie Robinson.
Oh,
so in
cool.
the book, it's like showing the parallel between her and like her situation, what was happening with Jackie Robinson during the integration of baseball. So it was really cool. And I was like 11 reading this book. Like, I love both these people. This fictional girl who was like struggling, and then Jackie.
So, but Harrison Ford was just a little check-in with him. So he was in makeup for this movie for about 30 minutes to get him to look like or resemble a bit like Branch Ritchie. He actually listened to audio tapes to try to get the voice down. You have a problem with him in this movie.
I do. Because everyone else is giving these like beautiful performances, and everyone's like very real, and it's he comes off as a character.
See, I thought that was on purpose.
I think it is, but it doesn't fit with the
rhythm. I get
the
you. Okay.
The rest of the movie, like
the tone.
Everyone was over the top, and then like Jackie was the only like real character. Fine, but it's like everyone else is kind of like giving real performances. Like, hey man, it's cool. Like, we like you, Jack. Like, and then there's Harrison Ford, and it's like Chadwick Boseman. I love him, and he should have Oscars already because
he's great in this movie. He's great in. Have you seen Marshall?
No, but he also for Get On Up and like he's there's a million movies that he's playing these like historic black figures that are incredible. Ugh, but he's so good as Jackie. There's this scene where he starts breaking down. It's after Alan Tudyk calls him the N-word repeatedly, and he like knows he can't say anything on the field, so he goes like down through the dugout where the players come out of, and he is like bashing his bat against the wall. And then he's like sobbing as he's doing it. It's so good.
No, he's wonderful in this movie. And you have also great actors like Hamish Linklater is in this movie. He's Ralph, and this baseball player, I'm not really sure. So Branca, I think it is. I don't remember. T.R. Knight is in
he's
it.
He's the guy from Legion.
Oh, I know him from Grey's Anatomy.
No, not T.R. Knight. The other guy.
Oh,
He's on Legion right now. He has half a burned face.
Okay.
I was like,
see, he's a
Bracca.
I was just
PR Knight is Grey's Anatomy. He was
George. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's why I was confused.
I was going back to Bracca.
Yeah. Who is well, Hamish, I just know because he's always does Shakespeare in the Park. That his mother
that's
is
how a, all my friends always referred to him.
Yeah. He and Lily Rabe are having a baby. Oh, yeah. They're married. Yeah. I wasn't sure if they were married. Christopher,
I was trying to remember because we were talking about how we're like, it's weird he's married to so and so, and I couldn't remember who the so and so was.
Well, they always do Shakespeare together. Yeah. It's really sweet. I didn't even know they were together for a while, and I was like, oh, they were always in shows. That makes sense. you also have John McGinty. John McGintley. I always say his name wrong. Is Red Barber, who's really good. He really lobbied for that part because he really wanted to play that character, even though he looks nothing like him. But his voice is so of that time. Mm-hmm. He's the radio announcer. Or really the announcer for the game as well. And Andre Howard as well, Wendell Smith. I was like, why is this guy so familiar? Why do I feel like I've seen him in another historical drama? He's in Selma playing a very similar like reporter role as well, I believe. He's also in Moonlight. Uh-huh. So this is a really great
listing.
But this is just a really, really great cast. Uh-huh. So Rachel, Jackie Robinson's wife, was very integral in this film, and she was very helpful to the writers and the cast. And she and Harrison Ford took the film to the White House because Obama was president at the time, and they showed it. Harrison was very impressed by Bozeman's commitment to working on his baseball skills. He said he just would watch him, like, you know, get ready. And he was, you know, he really wanted to look like he could really, you know,
play baseball.
Yeah, I'm sure there were some stand-ins as well, you know, because you can't. Completely, you can do as much as you can as an actor, but you're not going to be Jackie Robinson.
I mean, I think the way this movie was shot and the way they played baseball back then, it is very believable that, like, you could play those games. And, like, I like that this movie was shot that way because it wasn't ever full plays. It was, like, the way they shot it.
It's a beautifully shot movie.
And it was, like, very smart about, like, if you don't know baseball, you'd be like, oh, wow, like, that's
yeah.
good. But it's, like, the way they shot it was, like, oh, yeah, he could make that play. They shot easier plays. They're like, yeah, Jackie Robinson was incredible. He used to steal bases in a way that no one steals bases. And so I think the way they shot the movie was just cool because it was like, yeah, Chadwick Boseman could very feasibly make that play
today. I mean, he looks the part.
Well, but I think he actually like could in the way they shot it is what I'm saying. And so I liked that because that's like a cool way to film something. It's like, no, he could actually do it. It was physically possible in the way we shot this play for him to do it. And it's not I don't think they had to use that many stand-ins.
I'm just a sucker for baseball movies, or sports movies in general. The music swells and something good happens and everyone wins. I like it better than actually watching sports. I found a really interesting article, and I now can't find the information of who wrote it, so I do apologize, but someone who I think was on the ESPN website is sort of, you know, a historian about Jackie Robinson, and he said he enjoyed the movie, but he just sort of felt like there was some historical inaccuracies, that Branch Ritchie was given a little too much credit, he felt, for integrating the game, whereas he was really pushed for people like Wendell Smith, Sam Lacy, you know, were really, and other industries were really sort of pressuring the major leagues to integrate. And also interesting was that 2 months after Jackie Robinson, Larry Doby played for Cleveland, which I could see why it's not his movie. Like, I see sometimes you have to sort of cut the peripheral story. So, like, I understand why they might want to do that. And he also mentioned that the Canadians were a lot more accepting of Jackie Robinson than the Americans were. And that was sort of an interesting thing that he would like to have seen in that.
Yeah, but it's also not about that.
Like, yeah, but when you're an historian, you know,
When
you're an historian, and I do think it's important, you know, as two white girls talking about this movie, that to point out what a black man is saying that he felt was inaccurate about, I thought was interesting to add.
Yeah.
Because again, two white girls talking about 42.
I understand, but looking at it as someone who studied film, if you can't do that if it's a movie. Like, yeah, they could have put at the end, like, hey, 2 months after Jackie did this or this and this.
Oh, no, I'm talking, like I said, I said I understand why they cut that out. But yeah, you know, the Canadians cheered him on, you know. But there's also a narrative that you're pointing to do. But I think the biggest issue is putting on this white man a little bit too much. He felt that he was the whole reason it was integrated when there was a lot more about it. So I could see why you might want that in there. I get it. Spike Lee originally was trying to do this in 2004 with Denzel Washington. And it completely fell apart. And then Robert Redford picked it up because he was going to play Branch Ritchie. And that didn't happen. And then they announced this version in 2011.
I don't like either of those other versions.
Well, they never happened, Rachel.
I know. I'm just like, I don't like either of those.
Well, I feel like it was sort of, I can't see anyone else than him playing Jackie Robinson. It was really perfect. I'd almost forgotten that that was him in it until it was time to do the film. I was like, oh, wait a second. This is extremely timely right now.
I never forget, because every time someone starts talking about T'Challa, I'm like, Jackie Robinson. I'm like, I get it. I know. He's perfect for T'Challa, but I want to go back to Jack.
I was reading that he actually originally was a director. And he kind of fell into acting. I mean, I think he's trained as an actor as well, but, and again, this is the top of my head, but he was really pursuing a career in directing. It's so interesting how it's changed.
No.
That was the article that I read.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I don't think so, because he is the one who put Patricia Rashad and Denzel Washington saw him acting and paid for him.
Like I said, he has training in acting. He's not just an actor.
I'm saying they saw him when he was younger in an act school, and they paid for him to go.
But this article that I read said that his passion at the beginning of his career was to be a director.
That's what I mean. I'm just saying. I was like, I don't think it was ever, oh, I'm a director. I was like, I know that they paid for him.
Yeah, I mean, Richard Schiff, also an amazing actor from The West Wing, is a trained actor in Meisner, and for the most of his career before the 90s, but there was a big chunk of his career where he was a director in New York, did not act at all, and then started doing some, you know, some film and stuff, and now that's all he does. So it was just interesting to me to see, oh well, you know, he found his way back to something that maybe he didn't realize that he really wanted to do. I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but just thought it was interesting. So that's 42. Where can they follow you on social media, Rachel?
Oh, geez. You can follow me at Twitter at Rachel Leishman, or on Instagram at Rachel_Leishman.
I'm on the Twitter and on the Instagram. Wow, I'm on Instagram now.
You have to give them your handles.
I was going to, but you were looking at me oddly.
No, because you just paused. You said, I'm on the Twitter, and pause. You, okay.
Blindly. Lauren Milberger. Lauren, should I spell it? Milberger. Is that good for you, Rachel? Yes,
now they can find you.
Fantastic. I'm glad, because I don't have a lot of followers, because I'm new. Hi, I'm new in town. We've been doing a end of blowout podcast contest. Just go on the website and put in the number 42. Have it that. Wow.
Like the moon.
I know. And you can put your name in the hat to win one of the prize packs. There are a bunch there. You can pick, you know, which one you want. Maybe you can get more than one. I don't know. Also, please check out Haas Urban and the Haas Urban products.
Yes.
We both enjoy them. I love the Lip Glide. You enjoy the Headshot.
Uh-huh. I use it in my lotion.
Yeah. So it's natural products for your skin at HaasUrban.com. And then in 2 weeks, Crystal Beth will return, and we'll be doing Ender's Game, Anchorman 2, and The Expendables 3. And then Rachel and her friend, is it Leah?
Yes, Leah.
Will be joining us for Age of Adeline. Oh, I said it wrong again. What? Say it again. Just say it. I did say it right?
Yeah.
I kept been saying it wrong forever. And when I said it right, I second-guessed myself.
Yeah, I was like, it's Age of Adeline. I don't know what you're
saying. Yes, I finally got it right. I finally got it right, guys. Apocalypse Now. Apocalypse Now.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, I can do it now. You can't say this podcast has not taught me anything. Any last thoughts about the 2010s of Harrison Ford's life?
No.
Okay.
Good riddance, even though they're not gone.
No. And we're almost at Star Wars.
Almost.
Almost. Oh, yeah. You seem so excited.
Oh, to talk about Force Awakens? Yeah, that's fine.
What did you think I meant?
No, just like to go through. I said, but Crystal Beth has three, so ha ha.
What do you mean?
She has those three. I don't want to watch any of those.
Oh, I thought you meant Star Wars.
No, I'm looking at the three movies Crystal Beth has been.
I put together the schedule for the two of you very specifically.
You know, I'd be like, I don't want to talk about that.
I know you very well.
Guys, sometimes when you get stressed out, things work in your favor. Then you don't have to do the movies you didn't want to do.
You should still watch Morning Glory and get back to us.
I do want to watch Morning
Glory. Watch it and get back to us. Like, we'll do a little sidebar.
I feel like I should explain. I don't know if you explain, because I don't I haven't listened to anything.
I have not. I felt that was your place to say. And I felt people were following your social media probably knew.
Probably know. But yeah. If not, I went through a mental breakdown. I had to apologize to Lauren because I snapped because my grandma was dying of brain cancer. She passed away in March. But like I said, sometimes having mental breakdowns works in your favor because then you don't have to watch Ender's Game. But yeah, so I wasn't around. I needed a break. That's why if you guys listen to my other podcast, that hasn't had an episode in like a month and a half. Yeah, life goes crazy, but I'm back here. I'll be back for whenever we get new ones and all that goodness. If you want, go read my writing. I did keep up writing.
Are we going to do solo? No.
Yeah.
We are? We'll do solo. Cool. Okay, we'll do solo. Yeah.
Hell yeah, we'll do solo. Oh my God. 4 different people while we have had this podcast with their name as Sebastian Stan, not real Sebastian Stan, fake Sebastian Stans, have been following me on Instagram. So every time I look at my phone, it says Sebastian Stan is now following you. And I'm like,
what?
Oh, your name is Tori.
That was like where on our Twitter, in one day, someone named Han and Chewie in Indiana followed us. And I was like, what? So on my phone, it was like, Han, Chewie in Indiana are following you. Like, huh?
My one friend, her handle is I'm Seb Stan's fan.
Oh.
So it looks like I'm Sebastian Stan, which is his Instagram handle. And so all of a sudden, she'll like one of my things. I'm like, and I go to throw my phone at my friend. And so I'm like, or there's one that says Sebastian Stan, like it's I am. So if you glance, you're like, oh cool, Sebastian Stan. If you want to follow me on Instagram, my handle again is Rachel_Leash.
And if you're listening to this show, please come on.
We did have a fun story about Force Awakens. Maybe I'll say
Yeah, save it for Force Awakens. Like we want to have some themes
that
going.
That is my favorite Sebastian thing is that he looks like Mark Hamill.
He really does. It's getting a little unnerving. A solo trailer just opened up on my phone.
And on that note,
bye.